God is good. God is good all the time, and that is his nature. Thank you, brother, for Simon, for inviting me. And you all welcome again, joining him to welcome all everybody to in this service. And I'll ask you all to bow your heads in prayer with me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your spoken word. When you stepped into the middle of nothing, and you said, let there be, and there was. Lord, we thank you for the incarnate word in Jesus Christ, who came to earth to model to us what true love is all about. Lord, we thank you for your written word, because you said in those words that everything will work out for our good to those who love you. Now, Lord, we thank you for the preaching word, that it may touch the hearts of all those who not only seek to be doers of the word, not to be seek to be hearers of the word, but doers of your word, that we may experience the fruit of your word. Come now with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and teach us and speak to us, so that when we leave this place, we will go out into the world to preach the good news of the kingdom. And at the end of the day, your name will have all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, and God's people say, amen. If you have your Bibles, your smart devices, your tablets, anything that has a Bible in it, free to open it. And turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, if you can navigate your way down to the 25th verse. Acts chapter 16, beginning to read from verse 25 to 31. Acts 16, 25 to 31. If you are there, say amen. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors opened, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell upon the before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. Amen. Amen. If we go back to the 25th verse, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Beloved, this morning, I want to speak to you about the prayer experience. The prayer experience. Last week, we were in the wilderness experience. Today, we are in the prayer experience. Speaking about last week, if you are here last week, apart from the sermon, the announcement, there was one announcement we said, they were going to pray for all the school-going children taking exams. Okay? Now, globally, June, July, August, is that time when you as a student, if you are not serious, you will never be serious in life. That's the time you take serious, because it's not only examination, but results will come out. And your performance of those exams you took will depend how your holiday is going to be. If you fail, forget holiday. You have to try as best as possible to make sure that you pass, so that your parents will be happy to give you whatever you want during holidays. It reminds me of one of my friends. Results came out and one of his uncle asked him, did you pass? He said, no, sir. Did you fail? He said, no, sir. So the uncle was confused. Well, if you didn't pass, or he didn't fail, what happened? He said, the teacher said I should repeat. So he didn't pass it, but he has to repeat, so he failed. So this is a time
that we all anticipate that results will come out in our favor. So I want to pose a small question to you. It's the seventh part of the month now. We are moving to the next chapter of the year. What if we were taking an examination in life and God is going to mark us? How we've done in the first part of the year? How much did we score in discipleship? How much did we score in stewardship? How much did we score in church attendance? How much did we score in helping one another? How much did we score in giving up ourselves to come to the church, to come to the house of God to assist? Well, I leave that with you to check yourselves. Let us check ourselves and see how much we scored. But I know some people will score high marks. I know some people will be at the level. I know some people will need more improvement. But there is one area in a Christian life which I can assure everyone seated here that we all need improvement every day of our life. It's our ability to pray. It's our ability to pray. Because you can never pray enough. Every time you need to pray, Jesus modeled the art of prayer. When every time he would slip away from his disciples and then he moved to a corner to pray, because you need to pray to God. And the text we've just read, which featured Paul, is one person who modeled in Philippians 4. And he told us that be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's Philippians 4. And so from that Paul's experience, we see what happened in Acts, the text that we've read. Paul and Silas found themselves in prison. And then something miraculous happened. Well, let's look at the text. I know you've read the text. But in a nutshell, let me just give you a background to it so you don't miss the breakdown. Paul and Silas were in a town called Philippi. And the scripture says, every day they were on their way to prayer. They would go on the prayer. And then there was a certain lady who was possessed with an evil spirit that every time would be taunting them on their way to prayer. She would follow them and say, these men are servants of the Most High God. Every day they were on the way to prayer. And one day Paul got tired of it. And while she followed them to say, these men were servants of the Most High God, Paul turned around and spoke to the evil spirit, saying, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. And the spirit left the lady. But the interesting thing, this lady, because of her demonic spirit, she would tell people's fortunes. And her masters, the slave girl, her masters would use her powers to make money. So she would tell people's fortune and they would make money. So now Paul has cast out the demon out of her. She lost her ability to tell fortunes. So that is economically disadvantageous to the masters, and they got angry. So when they got angry, they got hold of Paul and Silas, took them to the court and made false allegations against them. And they ended up beating Paul and Silas and put them into prison. There in prison, they were praying and singing, and the prisoners heard them, and then a miracle happened. The prison gates were shattered, the chains were broken, and the warden wanted to kill himself, and Paul told him not to kill himself, we're all here. But that's the synopsis of the story, but the question you need to ask yourself in this story, what kind of prayer that somebody can offer that can cause an earthquake? What kind of prayer that somebody can pray that will cause God to release an angel that can shake the whole world? What kind of prayer that can cause doors and mountains to move and chains be broken? What kind of prayer that can ask somebody, that can lead somebody to believe in Jesus Christ? Beloved, that is not "now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. That is not "Our Father which art in heaven" prayer. That is a seasoned prayer from a seasoned saint that requires God's attention. And we as disciples trying to emulate that, we can carbon copy that to improve our prayer lives. So in the text, let me give you three principles that will put you in frame to see how you can get God's attention when you open your mouth to pray and to sing praises unto Him. Amen? Number one, prayer has to be a daily experience. Prayer has to be a daily experience. Watch the text. It says, every day they were on their way to prayer. Every day they were on their way to prayer. Every day they were on their way to prayer. Every day they were on their way to prayer. What does that tell you? We should pray every day. Every day they were on their way to prayer. Prayer should not be used as an avenue where you only need it when you want something from God. Some people, we know them. I'm sure you know one brother or one sister who every day they were coming to Sebika. Every Sunday they were coming to church. Every prayer meeting during the week, they will come to church because they needed something from God. But the moment God gives them the answer, then excuses start happening. You don't come to church, I'll watch online. Some people, like, when you start calling them, they even ignore your phone calls. Some people, when they see you in the street, they know you want to ask, why is it I haven't seen you to church? They will dodge you. Because we have this tendency that we only go fervently in prayer when we require something from God. But I came here this morning to remind somebody that God does not operate on demand. God requires that you have a relationship with Him, that every morning when you wake up, you have to go into a mood of prayer to create the avenue so that when problems come, when you open your mouth to call upon Him, He recognizes that there is somebody, I have a relationship in prayerful mode, then will release what you want into Him. My pastor said in one of his sermons, he said, prayer is at its best when you have a daily discipline to carry out, to cry out to God, even when you don't need something. Beloved, there are times when we have to wake up in the morning before we even open our phones, before we even check the news. Just roll out in your bed and declare, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will declare and rejoice in Him. There are times when you wake up in the morning before you get out of that house and you try to get something to wear. You look into the closet and see all the clothes that you have. Lift up a hand of prayer and thank the Lord for making the provision for you. There are times when we sit in our tables to eat, and we just need to lift up some prayer because some people are there who cannot even have a morsel of bread to eat. But we have it. So that's it. We have to thank God in everything we do. We need to give God praise. It doesn't matter that we only pray when we need something. But even when we don't need something from God, we have to declare a hand of praise to God. Amen? That is how you create an avenue that every day prayer has to be part of your daily routine. Even before you leave the house, to go to the office, to go and meet your co-workers. Because I tell you that sometimes when you get to the office, the first email that you open spoils your entire day. Because there are some people who are under a demonic assignment just to upset you. So you need to be in that fervent prayer mood that everywhere where you go, prayer has to be your daily experience. Amen? Prayer has to be with your daily experience. Just look at the person next to you and say, you should pray every day. You should pray every day. I think you can do better than that. You should pray every day. You should pray every day. Prayer has to be part of your daily experience. Now, not only prayer has to be part of your daily experience, but prayer does not exempt you from tribulation. Prayer does not exempt you from trials. Prayer does not exempt you from problems. You know, I've had some people say, like, something happens to you and they ask you, did you pray? Like, you go to bed, you have a bad dream, and you tell yourself, I had a bad dream. You say, did you pray? Well, Then he said it there. Prayer does not exempt you from tribulation. Now, let's go back to the text. It says here, every day they were on their way to prayer. And the lady was taunting them. Every day they were on their way to prayer and the lady was taunting them. Now watch something. They left their house to go to prayer, but they never made it to prayer. Okay, let me try over here. They were on their way to prayer. They left their house to go to prayer, but they never made it to prayer. Why? Okay, let me try here. They left their house to go to prayer, but they never made it to prayer. Some people are still slow. Let me try, my brother. They left their house to go to prayer, but they never made it to prayer. Beloved, they left their house to go to prayer, but they ended up in prison. They left their house to go to prayer, but they ended up being beaten, but they ended up being thrown into prison. But watch something. When they got to prison, they never stopped praying. Oh no, the church is quiet, man. Come on, come on. That's something that needs to get your attention. They left their house to go to prayer and they ended up in prison, but they never stopped praying. Because prayer doesn't stop you from tribulation. But what prayer does is to keep you together to go through your tribulation. Am I talking to somebody? Prayer does not stop you from being sick, but prayer can keep you through the sickness. Prayer doesn't stop your friends to stab you in the back, but prayer can keep you sane so you can sleep at night. Prayer does not stop your enemies to shatter you, your enemies to slander you, but prayer can keep you together, that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. The Bible says that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But what's the commitment? It shall not come near you. It never tells you that it's going to keep you from tribulation. The trials will come. The temptations will come. But as long as you are in fervent prayer to the Almighty God, He will always send His angels to keep you and to hold you, to see you through. Amen. Is there somebody who can testify that I know what prayer can do? I've seen what prayer can do. And that's why I go into the house of God every day to keep myself sane so that God will keep me through the prayers. Amen. Prayer does not stop trials and tribulations, but it can keep you together. Paul and Silas were in prison. They left their house to go to prayer, but never made it to prayer. But they continued praying. Why do we think that whenever there's problems in our lives, we should stop praying? Because some people will ask you, you're praying so much and things happen to you. Why is it? But God in His infinite mercy knows where He molds us, because your answer would come. Your answer would come through those trials and tribulation. So Paul and Silas kept praying because they recognize that prayer does not stop, exempt you from tribulation. Amen? The last point. Time is catching up. The last point. Prayer should be done with praise. Prayer should be done with praise. Now, without being biased or anything, I've said this a new number of times on this pulpit and everywhere I go in Goma. When it comes to praise and worship, there is no other choir than Novel Simmons. You're not even clapping. I'm blowing your trumpet and you're not clapping. When it comes to praise and worship, there is no other choir than Novel Simmons. Some of you came late. You should have been here at the start of the service when we pray. And they were singing a song and I thought they were going to sing one of my favorite songs that goes like, "Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen." In everything we do, there's somebody who has to declare, "Let the church say amen." So prayer has to be done with praise. Now, the verse tells us in 25, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. They were praying and they were singing. So somehow, between the prayer and the song, God shows up. They were praying and they were singing and the prisoners heard them. They were praying and they were singing and the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says, and suddenly, let the church say, suddenly, and suddenly, the whole place started shaking. The ground began to move and the doors started shaking. And everything was shaking. The doors were shattered and their chains were broken, including those of the prisoners. Okay, you read that text too fast. That blew my mind. You know why? Two people prayed. Two people sang the hymn. But all of them were freed. God, let me try here. Two people prayed. Two people sang the hymns. But all of them were freed. Two people prayed. Two people sang hymns. But all of the prisoners were freed. Two people prayed. Two people sang the hymns, but all of the prisoners were freed. Beloved, what that tells you, that when you see somebody praying, that when you see somebody singing, the answer that you have been looking for may result from that person's prayer. Beloved, there's nowhere in the scriptures which tells us that the prisoners were praying. All it tells us that the prisoners had them, but the prisoners were set free as a result of two people praying and because of two people singing the hymns. Oh, Christian brothers and sisters, when you lift up your hands in prayer, when you lift up your hands to sing the songs, you don't know that person next to you will get, you will get your answer as a result of that brother, as a result of that sister, as a result of that brother or that sister interceding. Because when the prayers go up, the blessings come down, and you never know, it has your name written on it. That's why you need to encourage somebody who's praying. That's why you need to encourage somebody who's singing. If nobody prays, you pray. If nobody says amen, you say amen. If nobody shouts hallelujah, you shout hallelujah, because you never know, as a result of your prayer, as a result of your amen, as a result of your hallelujah, will be the answer to somebody is looking for. Maybe somebody is sitting next to you who's in prison. Maybe somebody is sitting back of your pew who's in prison. Maybe somebody is sitting in front of you who's in chains. But if you will lift up your hands in praise to God, that person might be set free. That person might be set free. And that's what Paul demonstrated in this text, that because two people prayed, two people sang the hymns, everybody was free. I don't know who I came to preach to this morning. Maybe you have been toiling, you have been going from one church to another singing praise. But if you will make that commitment as you move into a new season of life to give praise to God, to honor God, you never know. You might be blessing somebody. Amen. You might be releasing somebody. You might be freeing somebody. And the jailer came up and looked at them. Prisoners, the doors were open, and he wanted to kill himself. And Paul told him, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Imagine a prison break, and nobody decides to run. What kind of God are these people serving? That God that they are serving, I want to be part of that God. So the prisoner gave his life to Jesus. Say, what must I do to be saved? And his whole family, including himself, we are baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, please be on your feet. Please stand to God this hour. Maybe you are in similar situations. Maybe you are running from one area to the other. You don't know where your next help is coming from. But I came to assure you this morning that help will always come from God. If you will persist to make prayer your daily experience, if you will persist that every time you will be singing, you will be praying, you will never give up, your answer is on the way. Maybe it won't come from you, but it will come from somebody else who's praying. That's why when we pray, the Bible says, the cup runs over. Because when God decides to bless one person, the abundance and the avalanche of that blessing is enough for one person to hold. It runs over to the next person. Amen. It runs over to the next person. So we need to be in that event of prayer. And even maybe you are here and you haven't given your life to Christ. You are here this morning. God is in your head. Jesus in your head, but it's not in your heart, because you haven't made that relationship to God. Maybe if you are here, you lift up your hand in prayer and we'll pray together with you. God is calling you this hour that we need to go out into the world and preach and teach the word, that together we will make glorious the name of the living God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've had your word. You have spoken to us this hour. Lord, we make that commitment this hour that prayer should be part of our daily experience. We make that commitment this hour to say that not because we pray means that we're exempted from tribulation, but we know that when we pray, you will send your angels and your spirit power to keep us to go through challenges. And together we will not only pray, but we will continue to sing the hymns of praise to you, because we know our praises attract your presence. And when the prayer goes up, the blessing will come down. And when the blessing comes down, it will pour out for me and for my neighbor next door. Thank you, Father, for your word this hour. And as we go out to continue to make ministers to your children, Lord, be with us, guide us, and let your word bear fruits in our hearts. So we'll come and give testimonies of your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.